Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sun Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Some show notes before we jump into things today. Once our guest gets on the show, if you're looking for wrestling today, WCWO 1151 South Kentucky Avenue in Indianapolis, Indiana, like usual. WTF tonight in Carmel, Indiana. You also have Woo America tonight featuring some of the Japanese stars. And then ACW featuring Casey Carlisle, whom I love, in Hanover, Pennsylvania. Tomorrow night, if you're in our neck of the woods, Woo America has two shows running. Also tomorrow night, Project 42, where you can find myself in Seattle, Washington, LA Lucha in Los Angeles, California, TASW in Cypress, Texas, and WCR happening in Cleveland, Oklahoma. Without further ado, I want to introduce our guest today. He is from the aforementioned Woo America, along with a few other promotions. He wears many hats, both literally and figuratively, in the business. Travis Mayhem, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Well, since today is your first day with us, I'm going to start you out with the traditional first-timer's question. What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
Well, you know, growing up as a fan, my dad watched the black and white stuff on the antenna TV, you know what I'm saying? Big fan. And so, growing up and watching the WWE transition over, you know, I kind of fell out of it. But what happened was I found a flyer that got me interested in an independent show about a year ago, and it was Northwest Pro. And I went and checked it out, and I said, you know, and it kind of rekindled my love for the sport. And, you know, I even went and tried out and to do some training to see if I can even take bumps and stuff. But that was really where I decided to, you know, there's more for me out there.
And when you get into the ring and you take the initial few bumps, what was the first thing that went through your mind when you first hit that mat?
You know, my bumps were, I was taking them really well. You know, I just started out with my back bumps. And what happened was, I started doing the rolls and stuff, and that's when I realized I have extreme vertigo. And when I'm upside down and doing those rolls, when I stand back up, it takes me for a minute to get my balance and stuff. And I didn't think that, you know, being upside down was really best for me.
Probably not the best thing for your opponent if you have severe vertigo.
Exactly. I didn't want to hurt myself, and I didn't want to get anybody else hurt. So I decided maybe being a wrestler wasn't my thing, and I took my hand at reffing. And I enjoyed that a lot.
Now, in addition to refereeing, you also have been a talent scouting and helping out in some offices here in the Northwest, including a brand new promotion that's about to launch called Reactivate Pro Wrestling. Can you tell us a little bit what led you to the management portion of professional wrestling?
Well, so right now for Reactivate Pro Wrestling, I am the vice president of talent relations. My thing is where the show is located in Central Washington in the Tri-Cities area. My partner is he has his hand in anybody who's over on that side of our state. I happen to know just about whoever is anybody on this side. And if I don't know them, it's not, you know, it'll take me much to know who's who. And we just kind of got together, and we're between Eastern Washington and Western Washington and even Canada. Canada, and we even got a guy coming from Southern California. We think that we're bringing the Pacific Northwest as a whole into one location, and that's what our goal is to bring the Pacific Northwest as a whole together into one spot.
Now, obviously, you've been around for several months at this point, not a great deal of time, but I see you on like all kinds of shows here in the Northwest. What has it been like as far as gathering up the contacts to have, gathering up relationships with all the various promotions, and being able to work with a lot of diverse people from a lot of diverse companies in order to help these companies with the booking and with starting a promotion from scratch, basically?
Well, I mean, like, I talked to some of you might know Mr. Duke the Dumpster Drosty. I met the fellow on Facebook, and he told me one thing was just to not hesitate, offer some help. And I start out ring crewing at Northwest Pro and at World Underground here in Bremerton, Washington. And, you know, the more people I've met personally, they recommend, hey, you should get to know this guy. He, you know, he's got some ideas, and I may not be the, you know, Paul Heyman or Vince McMahon, but, you know, I have ideas, and I think some people are starting to recognize that and giving me a chance to voice my ideas.
Especially when someone is still new to the sport, a lot of times it takes them a while to gather up the trust so people will start talking to them just in general, let alone on a business sense. You seem to have overcome that pretty quickly. What do you think attributes your success as far as being able to get to this point this quickly with the wrestlers? Because it seems like, much like I try to be, you've become a wrestling Switzerland.
So, I mean, like, you got to understand, like, we're all real people. We all, and you, when you reach your hand out and you meet somebody and you introduce yourself, and you know, you got to get to talking, and, you know, that's what it is once you get your, you know, when you start talking to certain people, and it doesn't take much, you know, the word gets out, you know, and I'm honest, you know what I'm saying? And I throw everything out on what I need to say. Like, if I go to a show locally and I'm like, hey, I found out about your show because I found it on accident, you know, you guys should probably probably should advertise more. And then the show starts advertising more. And then what do you know? You know, that's what you do, is you just got to get out and put your stuff out there. Like I do. I put myself out there. You know, I wear my heart on my sleeve. I don't, you know, I don't say I'm the owner of anything. I don't own a business. I don't own a company. I'm a referee, guys. You know what I mean? I just happen to know how to connect people with people. I'm a people person. You know, I like to say, hey, you so-and-so, meet so-and-so. And then I let those two so-and-sos carry on from there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
Yes.
Speaking of refereeing, you've been doing that for Woo America for a while now. And that's not always the easiest job to hold, especially in a promotion like Woo America. But
yeah,
you've been doing a fairly decent job out there under some occasionally difficult circumstances. What was it like when you first got in there and you're having to officiate matches?
Well, again, you know, I learned, I'm self-taught pretty much everything I've done all my life. And all of the refereeing knowledge I have is strictly from videos and watching people like you. And I had opportunity to sit down with you and Mr. Pops Ballard to ask my questions. One of the most difficult things for me is to remember to stay out of the camera eye and to remember to do my 10 counts properly. You know what I mean? I don't always remember that, oh yeah, I got to count this. But once I do and it catches on, you know, it's all on a wing. You know, I'm learning as I go, you know. One of the most difficult things is when I do got to take a bump as a ref, like I said, you know, it doesn't happen very often, but I don't want to not take one, you know what I'm saying? But that's probably one of my most difficult parts is taking the bumps. Is that's about everything else, like I said, is as I'm going and I get put in matches where the guys that are wrestling each other have been doing it for so long that they don't even really need me. You know what I'm saying? They really don't need me. They just need me to count that three and then hold their hand in the air, and that's all they really need me to do.
All respects to Pops Ballard, who's very good. I would say the most important part is not get injured in there.
That is very true. I've been lucky so far.
I would like to see that streak continue.
Same.
Now, speaking of injuries, everybody knows that in professional wrestling, you're going to see the occasional injury pop up there, be it serious, be it minor. They're usually pretty scary at the time. Sometimes ends up not being that big of a deal, but initially you're pretty scared when you see it. What's been the scariest thing that you've witnessed so far, be it in the ring or just out scouting talent?
Oh, you know, there was the one of my cringeworthy moments was the very first Northwest Pro show I went and sat as an audience member. And I watched a female wrestler by the name of Ashley Grace. She went to do a dive between the second and third rope out to the guys that were outside, and her belt buckle caught onto the bottom rope, and her face smashed so hard onto the ring that, like I said, my body winced in pain, just like, oh, I hope she's okay. And I mean, she was fine, but it's still it hurt me just to watch that.
Now, on the flip side of that, a lot of times professional wrestling can elicit amusement, especially for people inside the ring. Sometimes things get said or things happen that makes it hard for a wrestler to contain his amusement when he's supposed to be in there in a less than amused state. What's been the most amusing thing that's happened that may have broken one or two of the wrestlers or yourself while you're in a match?
Mostly me. I mean, I see all kinds of stuff all the time, and especially some of the videos that I watch. But it's me when I'm in there reffing. I have a hard time not laughing. I have a hard time not, you know, especially when I'm getting heckled. I have a hard time not just engaging the heckler. But I mean, at the same time, inside I'm laughing so hard because it's like I'm like a little school kid, you know. I'm living a dream, so to speak, and I'm in the ring and trying not to laugh. And I think that's part of the fun, is because you're in there and you're enjoying yourself. If you're not in there and enjoying yourself, then what are you even there for? You know what I mean? But, I mean, that's the best part, is just being in there and just – I think – and also when you see people are in the ring and an opponent is trying not to laugh at the other opponent because they're playing their silliness so well, it's really hard not to just laugh, you know? And these guys are really awesome. I tell you, a lot of the guys that I work with are super professional, and they can contain their laughter, and you can see – you can see it's really hard.
Unless it's Kelly Klein and somebody says something in passing about her opponent that totally breaks her. I've seen that happen. Now, today and tomorrow is important for Woo America because it's the long-awaited Japan camp. We've had some Japanese talent come over from Japan to take part in seminars, and they will be wrestling on the shows, three in all, over the next couple of days. What can you tell us about what Japan Camp means, not only to Woo America, but potentially to the Pacific Northwest just as a region?
Well, these guys have come all the way from Japan to teach us and anybody who is, you know, motivated enough to continue their training, which let me talk about that for a second. Training is important. Everybody needs to remember, don't stop training. Always continue your training is important. Never miss an opportunity like Japan Camp to come here, and you're gonna learn from people who've been on television and who've been in the business for a long time, and you're going to learn a lot, not only about the business, but about yourself. And this Japan camp, for anybody who's in attendance, is going to get a lot of training, especially over the next 2 days, regardless of how long they've been in this business. It's never a bad thing to continue more training. Always continue your training and keep it up and stay in shape and continue to be crafty. You want, you know, these guys who are going places are the ones who are in the gym all the time, or they're going in and they're hopping in the ring as often as possible. If these guys want to go places, they got to continue their training, and this is a good opportunity to do that.
New Japan has become extremely popular here in the United States over the last couple of years. It airs every week on Access TV. New Japan is now touring in the United States on a limited basis. They have partnered with Ring of Honor. They have their own version of a network with New Japan World. What do you think it is about New Japan and that type of style that we're now seeing in the Northwest this week that makes it so popular amongst the fans these days?
A lot of my association throughout my whole entire life, and now in the more videos that I watch, the influence that the Japanese have on us Americans, or even, you know, any other country, the Canadians, anybody, these guys are quick. These guys are agile. You know, they have a lot to teach about show. You know, you got there's their actions. You know, you put on a show. They have a lot to offer because they the Japanese culture is a lot about the show, the performance. So, you know, the more that like New Japan and all these other guys, they're going everywhere and people are enjoying it. Because it's not necessarily new, because, you know, it's been around forever, but it's exciting and something different than what everybody's used to. And with all these social media platforms and all these subscription programs, like, wrestling is all over the place now, and Pacific Northwest has begun to recognize that. And I think that here before too long, the whole entire Pacific Northwest is going to be one of those regions and territories that everybody's going to want to come to. That's what we want to do, and that's what we want to be about. And that's what's going to happen.
I think we are seeing that starting to take place with the emergence of Defy Wrestling, Without a Cause Wrestling, and 3-2-1 Battle, all having a lot of outside talent on them. Woo America has had several members of the Ring of Honor roster pass through Pablo Nita's. Down in Blue Collar Wrestling, we have also had a number of Ring of Honor wrestlers as well as other upper-level independent talents pass through the door. So I think things are starting to get really good for Pacific Northwest independent wrestling just in general. Looking at the landscape of someone that is relatively new to the area here, what do you see as the positives and the negatives as far as independent wrestling as a whole in the Northwest?
Wow, that's a good question. You know, there definitely is a lot of growing promotions out here, and you can't discount Northwest Pro and Combat Pro Wrestling. They've got a lot of good stuff going on with them too. You know, when it comes to what I've noticed, the positives and negatives, it's more of a politics thing or a backstage thing. You know, the issues I have more or less that I've seen is people aren't taking themselves as seriously as they should. Like I said, with the continued training, everybody needs to continue training. I know veterans who've been in this business for 14 years or more who train every weekend. That's one of the negatives that I see is people think that, oh, they've taken some seminars and they've taken some classes, now they're a wrestler. Yeah, it takes more than that. And then, you know, another thing, when you come into this business and you want to be something or start something yourself, you might want to think about what kind of person you were in your past and how that's going to come back and dip you in the bud. You might want to take care of that before you go out and start trying to make a name for yourself, if you understand what I'm saying.
Absolutely. Now,
we talked about some of the advice you've been given a little bit earlier, but especially for new people to the business, some veteran advice usually makes a world of difference in making or breaking them. What would you say to date has been some of the best advice that you've been given?
Just about anything I heard from Mr. Dumpster Drozzi. He's talked to me a lot about stuff. My best advice, especially, like, you know, people have been training. They do train, and just because it doesn't, you know, I see a lot of people out there training, and nobody's actually taking videos of it, or nobody's doing anything to help them out to get their word out. So one of the best advices that I've had, and I do this every time, I go to the Northwest Pro Shows, I go to Combat Pro Shows, I come to World Underground Shows, I have my referee gear in the back of my car every time. You don't hesitate to not bring your gear. Show up at a show as a fan. Pay your ticket. You never know. We have no calls, no shows all the time. You never know. They might use you. But don't count on it. But at the same time, that's the best way to put your name out there is to show up. Just show up and be ready.
Now, social media has been something that has become extremely important over the last several years as far as promoting events, as far as individual talents promoting themselves, merchandising, that type of thing. It's all become very heavily reliant on social media. Do you think that, generally speaking, a lot of independent wrestlers know how to correctly utilize social media, or do you think it's something that they still struggle with as far as correctly using it?
That's a good one, man. I see all kinds of stuff all the time. One of my biggest pet peeves is, especially if you are a wrestler and you have a gimmick in your character, you really don't want to go on your social media and post too much of your negative social life. You don't want to go onto your social media and say stupid stuff or do stupid stuff. And I'm a victim. I've done it myself, but I've hurried up and removed it from social media before it got too bad. That's the one thing I try to keep my personal life off of my social media. And that's one of the biggest things I see. A lot of people, they can't distinguish that. And then one thing I see too is you got to have a good social media presence as a promotion too. Put your shows out there. Your Facebook pages manager will, you can take your screenshot of your flyer. You can post that stuff every hour. You can schedule that same post every hour, and that can continue to get your more views. Using social media is a good thing. Don't put your negative stuff on your social media, especially if you're trying to put a positive name out there for yourself. That's all you can really do. Don't leave your dirty laundry in the laundry room. Leave your professional stuff on the social media. If you want to have a personal page, use your personal page. If you want to use a professional page, you know, just keep it separate. That's all I can really suggest.
Now, as someone that is helping a brand new promotion like Reactivate Pro Wrestling, do you have a social media plan in place for utilizing that to help promote the shows, or is social media something that is going to be there, but it's going to change as the promotion grows and gets established more?
Well, right now we're working on our website itself is not yet launched, but it will. And we do have a Facebook page. Right now we're using our Facebook to keep it basic and keep it simple. We have other people running it. I'm not the one running it. Right now we're using it to just continually promote our show, and the people who are in charge of the page, they do take the advice that's been given to them. When it comes to being a promotion, you want to promote your stuff. You want to promote who you're bringing in, and then keep it as simple as that. That's all there is to it. Make it shareable. Always make it shareable. And sometimes when you do run a social media, as a promotion, don't be overwhelmed. If you need to invite somebody from the outside, sometimes that's a better option. Or even if you have somebody on your roster who is very, very social media savvy, give them the reins. Let them take care. And that's the thing too, as an admin for many social media pages, I sometimes will draft a post and send it to whoever's in charge of the promotion to get approval for, and then I let them post it themselves, or I'll post it for them. But it's not a bad thing to ask for outside help. It's not really bad. It helps, especially if you're not the kind of guy who can run a social media page very well. If you can have somebody who's done it before or who knows what they're talking about, let them take the reins, and it wouldn't hurt. It wouldn't hurt, especially if they're sharing your stuff every 20 minutes.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I know QT has some questions as well, so I'm going to put you over to him.
All right, thank you.
Well, thank you, Sign Guy. Hello, Travis.
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
It's going very good. Welcome to the Turnbuckle Turmoil Show, the only podcast in the Northwest that has over 1,300 interviews.
Wow. I'm glad to be a part of the show.
Well, we have made this commitment, yes. I'm Travis. On March 31st at the Astoria Armory, you have the defending PNPW heavyweight champion, Draven Vargas, going up against Patrick Large in a steel cage match. Have you yourself refereed many steel cage matches?
Not a single steel cage match, though I have been ringside for one. I did set up the cage for two, but I have never had an opportunity to referee one, no.
Wow, okay. Do you yourself like the Astoria area, and have you ever gone clamming there?
No, I have never gone clamming there, but it seems like you might have been stalking my social media page. I am a big fan of Astoria, and I am a huge Goonie. I have Astoria dreams and would love nothing more than to pack up shop and move the hell down there at a moment's notice. And I was looking for pro wrestling down there and was actually turned on by Mr. Vargas too, just their promotion that's going on down there that they run the last Sunday of every month. So I know accordingly how to plan my seaside and Astoria vacations.
Was Goonie one of your favorite films growing up?
Oh, yes. I remember the day it was released on VHS, and I watched it until the VHS tape was burnt up. And all of my kids are into Goonies. We've watched the movie dozens of times each. And my five-year-old still records it on the DVR.
Wow. So I have a feeling that you like the movie Goonies over Kindergarten Cop that was also filmed in Astoria.
Oh yeah. And another film that was filmed in Astoria was the Short Circuit movie. And I have actually visited and been on that front porch of that house from the Short Circuit movie.
For our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans that aren't familiar with the Short Circuit movie, could you give us a very brief synopsis of it and who was in it?
Oh, geez. Okay, I know that Ali Sheedy and Steve Guttenberg were the leads of that movie, and their co-star was by the name of Mr. Johnny Five, who was struck by lightning on a military testing site. And he went rogue, and he became alive. He started developing feelings, and it was one of the funniest movies I'd ever seen at the time.
Funnier than Roddy Piper's movie, They Live?
I saw that twice as a child. I don't remember much of it. I can't seem to find it anywhere on any of the things I subscribe to, and it's driving me insane.
You have the privilege of meeting Roddy Piper in the Northwest when he was working with Portland Wrestling Uncut.
What was that again? I didn't catch the first part of the question.
Did you have the privilege of meeting Roddy Piper when he was here in the Northwest working on Portland Wrestling Uncut?
Okay. No, I have not had the chance to meet. I wish. I really do. And it was only recently that I found out that he was native to our area, or at least lived in our area. And that's kind of a bummer. I was like, well, let's go find his house. Like I found the Goonie house. You know what I mean?
Yes, well, he was born and lived originally in Canada. Yes. Okay.
Right.
Well, Travis, when you do work over in the eastern part of the state, do you travel across White Pass or Snoqualmie Pass? And if you go over Snoqualmie, do you stop in Clee Ellum, Washington for their famous donuts?
I don't travel too often to the east. When I do, I'm not too sure which pass I take. It's the one they're doing all the construction on.
Oh, well, I
always get stuck in it.
Oh, well, I think that might be White Pass. Okay.
Yeah, probably.
Well, if you ever do stop in at Clee Ellum, Washington, be sure to stop in at their famous bakery, the Clee Ellum Bakery. Yes.
All right, I will do that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Travis, have you ever worked with Northwest wrestler Phoenix Kid? That brings a lucha concept to the Northwest.
Okay. Oh, definitely. I have not wrestled a match for the guy, but I have been fortunate to be backstage on shows that he has been on. I have actually, in the last couple of weekends as a fan, I have sat in the chairs and watched as a fan. So I'm very familiar with Phoenix Kid. He's a good friend of mine.
Wow, okay. Have you ever made any long road trips with the Phoenix Kid?
Long, if you want to count from Tacoma to Bremerton.
Well, it depends upon the traffic.
Yeah. No, traffic was mellow. Getting around the base is kind of a pain in the butt sometimes, but it wasn't too bad.
Wow, okay. All right. Well, Travis, do you prefer to referee tag team or singles competition? And if so, why?
Well, I prefer singles because tag teams get a little complicated for me sometimes, get a little distracted, and you can't really figure out sometimes who's the legal man. And that's new to me still. But singles is my preference, definitely. No DQs, that too. Ha, I love the no DQs.
No DQs. Wow. All
right. Yeah.
All
I got to do is count that 1, 2, 3. You know what I'm saying?
And they always seem to complain that your count is not fast enough, that you've always
said
it was always a 3 count and where it was always a 2 and your hand was coming down. That always happens. Yes.
Always. Yep. And then they want – you got to – 1, 2, 3 is 1, 2, 3. It doesn't matter, you know, who's ref it. Sometimes they're a little slower. I've got a slow arm.
Wow, okay. Well, Travis, when you sat down to talk with Sign Guy and Pops Ballard, did you talk to them at the same time? And if so, was it at a Golden Corral restaurant?
No, it wasn't at a Golden Corral. It was actually in the middle of the ring at the World Underground. I had the opportunity to talk to them both at the same time. I had a bunch of questions. It was probably my third night refereeing, and a lot of my apprehensions and were eliminated that night because I had two really good referees in my ear telling me that this is what needs to be done, do it like this, and you'll be fine. And it was a relief. So, yeah, having them both of them in the ring and telling me what to do and answering my questions was a really big moment for me.
Did you have a list of questions? And if so, did you have a top 3 priority questions that had to be asked? Number 1, number 2, and number 3.
Number 1 was, what happens if you start that 10 count? And who's the one who has to roll back in the ring first and back out the ring before you restart your count? That was my biggest issue.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Everything else was just making sure that I got my cues and started my count.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, earlier, Sign Guy talked about seeing injuries in the ring. How do you think you would do as a combat medic on a Navy SEAL team?
Oh, we're going to repeat that. I only caught part of the question.
Well, Sign Guy earlier talked about seeing injuries in the ring. How do you think you would do as a combat medic on a Navy SEAL team?
Well, my medical experience is nothing more than a Weebelo's leader as in the Cub Scouts. So I'm not too good with blood, so I don't think I would do too well as a medic in the field.
Oh, okay. Well, now they do have that crystal or that chemical-like crystal that instantly stops severe bleeding. You put it on the wound, and it instantly clots it. Yes, I'm not sure what it's called. Okay. All right. Travis, have you ever talked to Northwest referee T-Rex, who was recently in referee action in Marysville, Washington?
You know, I have never talked to the guy face-to-face, but I have I've seen him in action down at BCW. And when I was at Combat Pro, it was really good to see him up this way, too. I'm glad he's getting himself out there as well.
Yes, yes. He also has a son who is throwing the shot put at R.A. Long High School. The shot put.
All right. That's awesome.
Oh, okay. Well, speaking of high school sports, did you yourself turn out for track and field or wrestling in high school?
No, I did not. I wasn't really much into the team sports growing up. I had a circle of friends that kept me super busy social-wise. I guess what I am doing now here, I was doing back in my youth, was just bringing people together. That's all I did when I was a kid, just making things go down, making things happen, partying safe for the most part, you know, in the early years, partying not so safe in the later years, but that's all behind me. But yeah, bringing people together and that's all I really do and have been doing. So, you know, I went to some of the high school games, but I never really paid much attention. I was more socializing and, you know, making other things happen.
Now, you talk about your circle of friends in high school. Did you belong to the goth crowd? And if so, did you drink coffee at Denny's at late hours?
No, not at all, not at all. My circle of friends was extremely, I wouldn't say eclectic, but, my circle was like one of each from every circle. I was the guy who wore the baggy pants, gangster style with the big long belt, but I also wore a Rob Zombie hockey jersey and a skull bandana, and I rocked a big old cowboy belt buckle.
A school bandana, which brings me to my next question. What were your school colors?
Oh, geez, green and yellow.
Oh, green and yellow, okay. What was your school mascot?
The Trailblazers. We were the Marcus Whitman Junior High Trailblazers. I didn't make it to a traditional high school. I'll let you know that right now. I got my GED in juvenile delinquent facility. But my junior high colors and my team was the Marcus Whitman Trailblazers, green and yellow.
Wow, okay. Just for your information, Sign Guy and have started up a Turnbuckle Turmoil interviewee folder of what their high school colors were and their mascots. And we, Sign Guy and myself, thank you for your contribution.
No problem.
Okay. Well, Travis, when Henry Rollins was in the band Black Flag in the late 70s and early 80s, he formed his own record label because none of the record companies would hire or sign Black Flag. Actually, it was their founding member, Greg Ginn, that started his own label. Do you yourself have a do-it-yourself work ethic like Henry Rollins?
A do-it-yourself what now?
A do-it-yourself work ethic. When opportunities are blocked, do you do it yourself? Do you take it upon yourself to do it?
Oh, definitely. I'll take anything. I mean, and it's not me either. Like, you can ask just about anybody backstage. If there's something that needs to be done, I'm the guy. And nothing – you just got to – nothing can block you. You're the only person that can block you. If something is your way, you just got to figure out how to move around it. Circumvention, you got to go over it, under it, around it, right?
Yes. Usually you go underneath it, yes, if you're in a submarine.
Yeah, sometimes. In a submarine, yes, definitely. Sometimes it's easier to go over. Sometimes it's easier to go around. You never know. There's a gate right down there. You can just go through the gate.
Yes. Oh, okay. All right. Now, speaking of Henry Rollins, who would you rather meet in a wrestling setting, Henry Rollins or Joan Jett?
Oh, man. Which character is Johnny playing?
Which character is what?
You're like, which character are we playing here? Yeah, but Henry Rollins, I mean, I wasn't a real big fan of a lot of the music and stuff, that, and I don't really follow a lot of his stuff, but I think I'd be excited to see him in the ring. I know that I was really bummed out when they didn't cast him for Negan in The Walking Dead, that's for sure.
Oh, yes. Yes. Now, he did a very good part in that motorcycle. What was that? Sons of Anarchy. He was very good.
Yeah.
Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of Sons of Anarchy, have you ever seen any Northwest wrestler ride down to the ring on a mini bike?
Oh, not personally, but I saw that guy, Aiden Reyes. He ran down on somebody's Rascal scooter, I think, that he stole from some old lady in the parking lot, but I can't be certain of that, and I thought that was awesome.
Whoa! A scooter. Wow, all right. Ooh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Travis, some guy earlier talked about New Japan influence. The Samoan culture also has lent itself to wrestling in persons like Umaga, The Rock, and Rikishi Fatu. Were you a big fan of Rikishi Fatu?
You know, the thing is I was a big fan of Rikishi and Too Cool. That's when I got back into watching wrestling again. And it wasn't until I subscribed to the Pro Wrestling Illustrated that I realized that Rikishi's been around a lot longer than I give him credit for. Now, don't quote me on this, but if I'm not mistaken, wasn't he part of the Headhunters or the Samoan SWAT team or something like that?
I think he was, yes.
Yeah, and yeah. He's such a youngster. I mean, I couldn't believe I was blown away. My dad told me that. He's like, oh, yeah, well, I remember him from when you were a kid. And I'm like, no. So when I looked it up, I was just amazed. I thought it was great.
Well, Travis, if a Northwest wrestler asked you to dance in the ring like Scotty Too Hotty and also put on the dance shades on you, could you dance like Earl Hebner or Rikishi?
You know, I couldn't. It would take me a minute because I don't remember the Rikishi and the Too Cool dance, but I think that I can pull that one off.
Oh, okay. Well, now you have a homework assignment to look up Rikishi Fatu's dance step.
Got it.
Okay. All right. Well, Travis, have you been refereeing when the Ideal Reflection Christopher Ryzik has been in the ring?
No, I have not. And that's the thing, too, of a lot of people. I don't remember names until they come back to me. And back in the early 2000s, I was able to catch Mr. Ryzik back at the Havoc Haven in Auburn for all American Wrestling Alliance, the Pinnacle. And seeing him the weekend before. I think it was last weekend at Combat Pro. And I was impressed. I was like, this guy, he's still a pretty boy. He's still holding that mirror. He just won't let go, will he? Even though that he had to let go of his hair. Sorry, Chris.
Well, sadly, I think the mirror suffered a casualty this past week. Yes.
It sure did. He's going to have to get a new one, right?
Yes. Yes, that's true. Okay. Well, Travis, have you ever taken a drink from the jug that Pa Moonshine brings to the ring?
No way, man. No way. It's strictly light beer for this guy. I wouldn't. I don't know, man. I've smelt it up close. I don't know, man. I have enough hair on my chest.
Well, Sign Guy took a drink from that jug, and he was drunk in the ring.
Yep. Yeah, see, we don't need that, especially the rep. Good job, Sign Guy. Way to go, buddy.
I was brought up by Ox Harley, so I was all right.
Yeah. Got to keep your head in the ring, buddy. Especially when dealing with them moonshiners, right?
Yes. Yes. Well, Travis, what's the strangest foreign object you have seen a wrestler pull out of his or her trunks?
Oh, man, let me tell you, I was at the Northwest Pro Show there at the Parkwood Community Center, I want to say June or July of just last year, and I got to witness Mr. Joey Ryan versus Adam Reyes and Jeff Orcutt in a triple threat match and saw everybody get a lollipop.
Oh, a lollipop. Well, that's a little bit strange. That's kind of like the opposite of the pizza party tag team that just throws snack cakes out to the fans. That's not pulling anything.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Every time I go to the show, I'm looking forward to Mr. Snack bringing me a ding-dong or a ho-ho or a cupcake. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes. And did you know that he was ranked number one in the Turnbuckle Turmoil Northwest wrestler rankings, the Turnbuckle Turmoil rankings 2 weeks ago, and Snack the Jack Fruit Pie for being ranked number one?
I'm not surprised. That boy, he can get – he's got a bunch of fans, and I'll tell you what, I'm not sure yet if it's that pizza singlet he's got on or if it's the ding-dongs and ho-hos. I'm not too sure what it is, but everybody seems to eat him up. Bam. You get my pun there?
Yes. Yes. Why is it so rare for a female wrestler to pull something out of her tights?
Well, I don't know if I want to get too deep into that. There's not a whole lot that should be down there, first of all. And if there is, do we really want to bring it out in the ring? But at the same time, I shouldn't say too much about that. Mr. Ryan, everybody loves blow pops, right?
Yes.
Some of the things I've seen lately is a little bit it's a little silly there, guys. Let's keep that stuff in the bathroom.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll try.
Unless you want to pull out a Build-A-Bear, you know what I'm saying? Build-A-Bear's for you, Build-A-Bear's for me, but let's keep the other stuff down there.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. So, Travis, it's been great talking with you. Now, remember, if you go east of the mountains, be sure to stop in at Clee Ellum Donuts and be sure to look up the Rikishi Dance Steps. And hopefully, one day, I will see you and Sign Guy do some Rikishi Dance Steps in the ring.
You got it. Let's do it, Sign Guy.
Sounds good.
Along with Darth Cardin. Yeah. Back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Travis, obviously here in the Northwest, as almost every other region you would visit, there are different styles of professional wrestling out there. You have the high-flying, kind of the cruiserweight style. There's the luchador style. There's the Japanese strong style, British technical style. A lot of styles out there. What would you say is your favorite style of match to officiate?
Oh, that's a good one. You know, I really missed an opportunity to ref any of Mr. Phoenix Kid's death matches. I would have loved to have done that. While I'm not too much of a big fan of taking sharp objects to myself, I have no problem officiating one of those kind of matches.
That's where we kind of draw the line. I refuse to pull glass out of anyone. I'm not a huge fan of that type of match. Well, that's why we got
right. And then earlier I said. Earlier I said I don't too much care for blood, but then there's a difference between shrapnel and a barbed wire steel chair. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Definitely.
Now, obviously, most people in the industry have some sort of dream match, something that they would most like to be part of in their career. Do you have any type of dream match out there that would be something you would most want to officiate?
I really don't have a dream match that I'd like to officiate. I'm just lucky to be able to officiate any match that I'm asked to officiate. My goals, though, and my dreams are to find myself a really smash mouth tag team from our area and to manage them and to make people know that there's definitely a team that needs to be recognized and that can hold their own in all the other promotions with all of their other tag team champions.
QT referenced someone a little bit ago. I don't know that he would be on anyone's dream list. If so, they may want to get concussion protocol done upon them. There's a guy out here, I'm sure you've seen him. He's a thorn in my side. I hate the idiot. I will smash him again if I see him. That idiot Darth Carter tends to run around the Northwest, everywhere from Idaho to Oregon to Washington. He's covered ground. What are your thoughts on this menace to the industry, Darth Carter?
I don't know, man. This guy seems to be doing something right because he seems to be showing up and popping up all over the place, if you know what I'm saying.
He really does. It's one of the signs of the wrestling apocalypse, I believe.
Yeah? Which one is he? Pestilence?
Probably. He's probably half of them, at least.
All right. No, man. Like I said, the guy's doing something right. He may be an idiot, but he's a smart idiot.
If you say so. One of the things in professional wrestling that seems to be making a comeback at the national level and hopefully on the independent level as well is the art of managing. We have several managers here in the Northwest that do a very good job. The national companies are just now starting to incorporate a few managers again. What do you think about the art of managing in 2019?
Well, you know, like I said, I grew up watching originally the Black and White and the stuff that they had there on Saturday night. It was before WCW. And, you know, back in the days, you got the Colonel Rob Parker and, you know, you've got, gosh, man, now I'm drawing a blank. Jim Cornette, you know, you got even Paul Heyman or Mr. Paul Dangerously, whatever. You know, maybe gimmicky and cheesy, but I still think that there's a very, very, very good place in professional wrestling for a really good manager. And if, you know, one of the things about being a good manager is you got to have a good team. And if you don't have a good team, you're just wasting your time.
Now, another aspect of wrestling that might be very sadly underrated at this point is the role of the ring announcer. They can generally make or break a show depending on if they know what they're doing or not. They're usually the face of the company as far as the fans go because that's who the fans see rightly or wrongly as a type of authority figure. Who do you think are some of the better ring announcers out there right now?
Oh, man. I'm liking Mr. Lawless over there. He does 3-2-1. You know, you get a couple of – I've been to a couple of shows, this guy, I believe his name is Demetrius. He works at Combat Pro sometimes. He's a pretty good ring announcer. Just recently, we didn't have a ring announcer for a show that I work for, and me and a guy by the name of Mr. Al Tubbs did our very best to work color commentary for the show. And, you know, that's a really important role. You know, I'm telling you right now, I don't see myself doing that again anytime soon. But if you're good at it, you should to let people know that you're good at it so that we can get you to one of these shows because an announce team is really, really important.
It absolutely is. Well, we have come down to one of the last few minutes of the show, so I want to give you ample time. If there's anything you would like to say to the fans, plug and promote absolutely anything and everything, social medias, upcoming appearances, anything you want, floor is all yours.
All right. Well, you know, first and foremost, I'm here standing behind La Poblana's Mexican restaurant in Bremerton, Washington, on the corner of 6th and Callow. I'm getting ready to go in and participate with Japan Camp. We have a show tonight as well as another show tomorrow. And every weekend coming up, as far as I can remember, for the next few weekends up until May, you've got wrestling every weekend going on all over the Pacific Northwest. If you don't know, just look it up. You'll find it. On social media myself, I like to hashtag PN Wrestling. Pacific North Wrestling. So if you look that up as a hashtag, I'm not the only one who uses that hashtag. A lot of other guys use that as well. You got that, like I said, Pacific Northwest is where wrestling is happening, and you've got it going from Portland, Seattle, Everett, Marysville. You've got Spokane, Hermiston. You've got them all over the place. And I just recently found out, and I'm grateful for Astoria. And that's, you know, it's everywhere. All you got to do is just open your ears and look for it. And if you can't find it, we'll find you.
Well, Travis, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us today. I know that you are at the Japan camp as we speak, and I greatly appreciate you making the effort to be here today. I will see you at some point soon, I'm absolutely sure.
Definitely.
If you get the chance to check out some of the work Travis is doing, definitely do so. Support him and his efforts. Find young referee early in his career, getting better. Also doing work behind the scenes, trying to make the region better. So support his efforts. We will be back with you Sunday afternoon as we continue currently in active month. And we have someone I've known for a long, long time. Charles Garland will be in with us Sunday. You probably have known him by the various names he used throughout his career, but whichever name you know him best, he'll be here talking with us. So make plans to join us on Sunday. Support local wrestling wherever you might find it. You can find me tomorrow night in Seattle at Project 42 at El Corazon Nightclub. And get out there, support, and we'll talk to you on Sunday.
All right, I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Travis.
All right. Have a good one, guys.
Okay.